See, Afternoon Cruise, I'm chatting with Samara Joy. She's preparing for a show on Saturday at the Ordway in St. Paul. And to say Samara Joy is one of the biggest things in jazz right now is a gross understatement. She's won 2 Grammys, one for Best Vocal Jazz Album and one for Best New Artist, and she's graced stages all around the world, and we're so honored that she's coming to town this weekend. Samara Joy, thank you for joining Jazz 88, especially as I know you're facing some travel struggles, so we appreciate you making the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Samara, there is a lot of beautiful things to say about your voice, about your performance, about your presence, and about what you're doing for this art form. But one thing I want to give you a compliment on is your song selection. You have such a gift with picking not only beautiful songs, but songs that seem so right for you and your ensembles. So when you're trying to figure out what material you're going to work on, how do you do that? How do you decide which songs not only are great, but are great for you?
That's a good question. I get inspiration from whatever it is I'm listening to, as well as what the people around me are listening to. And so I think a lot of the expansions, or at least new selections that come into my repertoire are either a product of what I'm listening to or what the people around me are listening to. Like for example, I wrote lyrics to this beautiful Charles Mingus composition called Reincarnation of a Lovebird, and I would have never known about it or heard about it because I hadn't listened to Charles Mingus on my own. But a band member of mine was like, hey, I've been checking this out, what do you think? And from there blossomed this new love for writing lyrics to beautiful melodies. And even though they already tell their own story, being able to figure out how I can tell a different kind of story of my own, the way I interpret it at least, has been a newfound passion of mine. So it comes from a lot of different places, but those are just a few of the sources.
When you have a source as revered as Charles Mingus and you're working on lyrics, do you feel a different level of pressure to get to the moment, as opposed to as if it's just Pasquale going, hey, here's a new melody? You're going, this is Mingus. I gotta get this right. Or is this something where you go, I'm going to find my spirit and I know it's going to guide me in the right path?
I think no matter if I connect with the song, the lyrics inevitably come, and it does depend on the song. For Mingus, it took me about a year simply because I was still trying to figure out how to learn the melody itself before being confident in that before venturing towards putting words to the melody. But you know, with other things, it takes a couple months. Maybe it takes a second, maybe it just takes a day of focus to kind of come up with at least a general roadmap for how I want to tell this story. But it all depends.
And you mentioned coming in to your undergrad program without a lot of experience in jazz, but you did come in with a lot of experience in the gospel world. I heard that you started singing in earnest in your church at age 16. And now, of course, gospel has incredible lead vocals and solo performances, but there's a lot of harmony singing and group singing that goes with that. I've mostly heard you on your own, just one voice, not even you double-tracked or anything like that, on your jazz recordings. I want to ask what singing with others and in groups, in particular in the gospel setting, taught you about your voice when you started to perform just as the only vocalist?
What it taught me about my voice, the power of taste and dynamics, I think. Maybe when you're only a lead singer and only singing in the context of you know, being the focus, it's easy to just kind of maybe do a lot of stuff to draw further attention to the fact that you are the lead. Whereas in a group setting, the focus is the group and how you can fit into the group, how you can become one voice and one sound. And even if your part is different than the person next to you, figuring out a way to blend in. I would say that it has translated now. I have an octet, and there are certain parts in the certain points or moments in the music where I'm singing along with the lines that are being played by the horns, and I don't want to stick out because I'm not the lead voice. The lead voice could be the trumpet at that time or one of the saxophones. I want to blend in and be kind of be as act as if I am one of the horns. And so having, even just having that mindset of like knowing when to, you know, switch between roles, knowing what role you're playing in that moment, is something that I learned being in a group setting, in a group context, and it's helped me become a better leader, being able to listen and be a part of a group.
It's the Afternoon Cruise. I'm chatting with Samara Joy. She's at the Ordway on Saturday night. Samara, what kind of show are you bringing to the Ordway? You just mentioned you're with an octet. Who's going to be on stage with you on Saturday?
My octet is going to be on stage with me. I'm super excited. We just released a single.
Is that You Stepped Out of a Dream?
Yes.
We're spinning it, baby. We're on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And this project is something that I definitely take great pride in, because I was listening to a lot of big bands about a year ago, still am, but I was getting more and more into ensembles and what it was like for a vocalist to be supported by that kind of sound. And I kind of wanted my own little big band, but not necessarily travel with 20 people, but create maybe the illusion, you know, by having four horn players. And the way that they write their arrangements for the group makes it seem, you know, as if there are a lot more people on stage than there really are, which is really cool. And so hopefully with this Ordway show, I know that I understand that there's a lot of classical performances that go on there. That's a right. lot of different groups come in. And so I'm excited to share the orchestration that we've been working on, the arrangements, not only to original compositions within the group, but standards that I love, and maybe obscure songs that you might not have otherwise heard, interpreted in our own creative way.
Well, that sounds wonderful, Samara Joy, and I'm excited. I'll be in attendance, and I'm looking forward to catching you on Saturday at the Ordway. I know it's a busy, busy time in your life, and I don't think that's going to be stopping, because you have really developed quite an amazing enthusiasm for this music. As a fellow person in the jazz world, I thank you for that. You've brought in so many people into this world, into this fold, who wanted to be jazz fans but maybe didn't have the pathway in. So I tip my hat to you. You're helping all of us. But I also tip my hat to you, particularly for taking time out to chat with Jazz 88 and for bringing your octet to St. Paul. We will catch you on Saturday, Miss Joy.
Looking forward.